Today's episode of Puck Soup is sponsored by SeatGeek, because buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated. But there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. It's the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. They have a seamless mobile experience that you can buy and sell tickets with in just two taps on your mobile device. They help you find the best seats at the best prices, and it's fully guaranteed. It is baseball season now for your boy. I like going to the game and grabbing a beer, grabbing a hot dog, grabbing some Cracker Jack, putting the hot dog and Cracker Jack in the beer so I can eat it more quickly like a competitive eater. And I'm going to use SeatGeek to buy those tickets. I'm a Mets fan. It's going to be really easy to find available seats at Mets games this summer, I think, based on the quality of the team. But I want to make sure the seats I get are the right deal for me. And that's why I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. They save you time, they save you money by searching multiple ticket sites, compare prices, and find amazing deals. You get the most bang for your buck because SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. So what are you going to do? Here's what you're going to do for any concert or game ticket you want to buy this summer. Download the SeatGeek app and then enter the promo code SOUP. Because the Puck Soup listenership gets $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase with that promo code. That's promo code SOUP for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So get the app today, and we thank them again for being a sponsor of this very podcast. This podcast this week, as you know, is the Union Hall live show taped Monday, June 28th in Brooklyn. It sold out in about a day and a half, and Dave and I are completely blown away and thrilled that all of you decided to come and see the nonsense that we do in person. Thanks to all who came out. We are definitely going to do this again in New York, maybe at a larger venue, maybe at a venue that isn't hotter than Satan's taint next time. And we do thank all of you who bared the heat in that room and stood around, many of you, to watch the show. Barry Pachesky from Deadspin is our guest. We get into some really cool stuff about hockey and also about the media. And then we play another round of the Sidney Crosby Like. We play the roster game, our favorite live game to play in podcasts, performed on stage. And I think you're going to really dig it. It was a really fun show. And again, thank you so much, everybody who came out. You made the show great. Your enthusiasm, your interest in the show, everything that's going on. We're going to take it on the road next season. Definitely noodling through a show in Toronto in September. And then, according to Katie Levine, our producer from Nerdist, who, by the way, deserves all of the accolades for putting this Union Hall show together and then putting this very podcast together for you. According to her, we have a pretty large listenership in L.A., D.C., and Philly. So Dave and I are going to try to figure out ways to go there. And if you want us to come to your town, man, just hit us on Twitter at Puck Soup Podcast, or hit the Reddit and just let us know maybe some venues to start looking at and maybe what the interest might be in us bringing a show on the road to your place next season. But anyways, Union Hall live show is a really, really fun time. You get most of it. The Q&A portion was just for the folks who paid the monies to get in and see us. And we'll do this again. It was super fun. Next week, we'll have another edition wrapping up all the free agency stuff. And there you go. So thanks, everybody, for supporting the podcast. You guys are the best. And enjoy the show.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Puck Soup.
I'm Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports.
Oh, we're not
Daddy
doing
Blog.
That again. My God.
I'm Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports, Puck Daddy Blog.
Never heard of it. The guy who wrote and performed that song was supposed to be here tonight, and then he bailed to the last second because he fucking sucks. Real quick show of hands or applause. How many people believe they know the words to the theme song? Just one, two.
Literally two people have
three,
raised their hand. Three people.
Three people.
Mm-hmm. I noticed right. You haven't raised your hand.
No, and I helped write it. we'll work on that for next season, getting the thing in English.
Yeah, it's confusing. But round of applause. Who wrote it?
Jeff Sampson.
Round of applause for Jeff Sampson.
No. Fuck him. No.
I also want to shout out my lovely wife, Ruby Edmondson, who's backstage right now. She designed the logo for Puck Soup. If you give her a round of applause.
Make all your toilet jokes now, motherfuckers.
Beautiful, talented artist.
Yeah.
It's not a toilet.
It's not a toilet.
It looks like a toilet. because Nerdist, and thanks Nerdist for doing this.
Oh, we're gonna blame Nerdist for this?
Nerdist, she had to incorporate the Nerdist asterisk as part of the design. So it looks like a giant shit in a toilet versus a bowl of soup, which was the original intent.
Really? What does your poop look like when it looks like an asterisk?
Apparently, I eat a lot of sea urchin.
You people that make jokes on Twitter about the toilet, let's see how tough you are now with her in the room.
Yeah, you dicks.
Yeah. No, put the knife away. Don't.
I doubt anybody who paid to be here tonight are the people who harass us on Twitter. But all right. Well, here you are. Make sure you stick around for the Q&A to be like, why the fuck is your logo a toilet?
And then Ruby buries her with the right cross.
drops the people's elbow on her.
All right. So what are we doing?
So tonight's gonna be fun. We've got some guests. We got a lot to talk about. We got a game show coming up later. And then, of course, the Q&A portion as well. So thank you for all coming out. We should probably begin with the biggest hockey news of the day, as we often do. Mm-hmm. A UFC fighter shat in the ring last night. It's pretty much the only thing I really care about right now. She literally took a shit in the ring during the match. The stress of the hold was so immense that your bowels fucking exploded. And there was just like a fucking shit slug crawled across the ring.
You were the most immature person I've ever met in my life.
Dave told me that
it's UFC.
That's what I said. Dave told me that he...
there are no rules.
Dave told me he saw that link and he didn't click on it because he was afraid of what he was going to see.
That and the Don Cherry thing are the two things I don't want to see on the internet. Shit and shit.
For those of you that don't know, Don Cherry went off on another typical Don Cherry rant after the NHL draft talking about, oh, no, good Canadian boys get drafted by the people... And so we were like, you know, come on. Like, and then he put over Mike Babcock and saying, you know, Mike Babcock tells him the good Ontario boys are the ones who play great. I'm like, Mike, fucking no one would give a fucking shit about Mike Babcock were it not for Swedes and a Russian guy. Like, no one gives a shit. He would never have gotten that job. It'd be fucking Dan Bylsma coaching up there at this point. But
what's wrong with Dan Bylsma?
No, well, I don't know. Is he here tonight? He's fucking got some time in his hands, apparently.
That's some anti-American bullshit I'm not going to stand for in my presence.
So no, the biggest hockey news today, obviously, is the fact that we have a new Hall of Fame class. The four NHL players worth mentioning are Mark Recchi, Timo Solani, Dave Andrychuk, and Paul Kariya. Do you have any issue with any of those, Dave Lozo?
I'm supposed to have like a hot take here.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're all fine.
I think they all
deserve to be in. They all have different resume types. And Paul Kariya was great, and injuries cost him. Dave Andrychuk, Mark Recchi compiled a little bit. And then Timu was awesome. So next topic.
I'm a real easy lay for nostalgia. So like the minute they said Kariya and Solani made him, just like, oh my God. Started like clutching my starting lineup figures and being like, remember when it was fun?
He's not doing a bit. He really does.
He might have done it. I think this is an interesting class only because like Dave Andrychuk and Mark Recchi are in because they literally never stopped playing until they compiled the necessary statistics to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but they were good too at their peak. Like, they weren't just guys that's had like 60 points a year for 20 years. Like,
but it was pointed out to me that like in the 1980s when they didn't,
hockey was at its best.
I was young. I assume they didn't have goalies from the stats that I've seen. I also had sports. I had Sports Channel growing up, so we didn't see the West Coast games too often. I assume they didn't have goalies out there because of what the Oilers did. But
that's true of the '90s. You ever like go back and watch like a 1995 Devils Flyers playoff highlight when Claude Lemieux scores from like just inside the blue line?
Yeah,
like there was no goaltending until like 10 years ago. Really, it's unbelievable.
Or maybe Ron Hextall was a little leaky. But Andrychuk never had. If the argument is that Andrychuk was never one of the top 10 players of his era in any year, I would probably agree with that. Maybe a couple of those years in the 80s when he was scoring a bunch of goals, but like he's not typically known as a legendary player. However, I've come to the idea that longevity should be a virtue that we celebrate in this horrific game of ours. And you look at Kariya. Like Kariya makes the Hall of Fame, plays less than 1,000 games, point-per-game player, but couldn't fucking make the finish line because he got concussed so often. And like... to have Recchi and Andrychuk play as long as they did and compile the stats they did and everything else, I think should be lauded and not bemoaned.
So you just want to put everybody in the Hall of Fame?
Well, no. Listen,
put Claude Lemieux, Stefan Riche, Martin Brodeur, Ken Danica, Scott Stevens.
Yeah. Uh huh. Bobby Carpenter gets his own wing.
I see where this is going.
Yeah. No, my Hall of Fame thing is that, like, if I had my druthers, like, two people would get in every
Your
generation.
What?
My druthers.
My druthers. Hello, good sirs.
If I had my druthers, oh.
Well, I do declare. Bobby Carpenter's back checking in 1996 was enough to get the Devils a Stanley Cup.
I would definitely invite Dave Andrechuk to the cotillion.
Yeah. All right, we can check the box, the part of the podcast where we have to mention you're a Devils fan. We don't have to do that the rest of the podcast.
That's right. So anyways, I'm very much like Hall of Fame Nazi. Like I would purge the roles of like 75% of the people in the Hall of Fame and just make it for the true immortals. Timu would be in my Hall of Fame, but like none of the people else that got in this year would be in my Hall of Fame, with all due respect to...
Not even Korea?
No.
Why not? You were just making the case for Andrechuk over Zuboff before everybody got here.
I think you need a combination. Well, yeah. I think you need a combination of longevity and impact and immortality. And like, I think you know, like guys like Lindros is a real tough case for me because he had the impact and he had a short duration. I guess Korea is sort of in the same boat and Burry is in the same boat. I don't know, man. Like, I would take Lidstrom, and then, like, that's it for Lidstrom, Pronger, and Niedermeyer, and then that would cut it off for that generation.
Right at Niedermeyer. What a weird coincidence. It's the spot where you cut it off. Here's my idea for the Hall of Fame. Ready?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
There's, like, 240 guys in the Hall of Fame, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
People, I should say. It's all men, women, and everything. 240. What if we just took the 100 best hockey players, kept them in the Hall of Fame, and then the other 140... We let me go to each person and be like, yeah, I got bad news.
If only there was some way to whittle down the best hockey players of all time, down to a list of 100 people.
100 people, and then have them be the top 100 of all time.
Yeah.
Well, we should do 101 so we get Gino in there, right? I mean, but think about how great that would be, though. Like, if I just go door to door and I, like, find, like someone's, like, widow at home, and I'm like, I got bad news about that. About your dead husband.
Are you Bernie? Are you Bernie Federico? Yes. I gotta tell you.
Are you Cap Anson's granddaughter? I got bad news about Gramps. He's out. Paul Curry is in.
Come on,
that'd be great.
The Hall of Fame fucks up so often that I think they deserve to be lauded for, like, the fucking Pat Burns getting, like, you know, dicked around for a few years like the way he did. I think they deserve to get lauded for what's a really good class. Like, I think, you know, I went today hoping and praying that Korea was going to make it the same year Solani did for all the feels, and they actually did it, which is...
You had a lot of feels today?
I got a lot of feels today, man. Aww. The best news of the day, in case you haven't heard, is, like, Paul Kariya, a guy that, like, fell off the face of the earth because of concussions and whatnot, is like, no headaches anymore. Like, he goes snowboarding and surfing and shit. And so he is surfing. Yeah.
I think snowboarding is surfing today.
So he's doing well. And the other cool thing, in case you didn't see it today, is that he was out surfing. He came back home. And Timo Solani actually called him before the Hall of Fame did to let him know he got in. Like, somehow
is that cool, or did he just ruin the
No, I think it's amazing.
I think that's a little bit dickish. Like, don't you want to see, like, that Toronto area code come up on your phone and be like, yes? Instead, it's like a message from Timo, like, hey, what's up? Trump rules. You're in the Hall of Fame. No, I don't want that. Sorry.
But yeah.
But the feels were great, though.
The feels were great. I was very happy about that. So is there anybody that's not in the hall that you want in? Are you like a McGillney or a Curtis Joseph type kind of guy?
I'm a big Sergei Zuboff guy.
Yeah.
Because you look at his numbers.
He was
right behind Nick Lidstrom in everything.
Yeah.
The quote, best defenseman maybe of all time. And there's one year where Sergei Zuboff had like 80 points in 76 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he finished... 13th in Norris voting. He was tied with Mark Tenorti. And for people in the room that don't know who Mark Tenorti is, because you should not know who Mark Tenorti is.
Think of a less accomplished Brooks Orpik.
Right. Like Brooks Orpik, but bad.
But bad.
And that guy got the same amount of Norris votes that year as Sergei Zuboff.
Can I tell you a quick Mark Tenorti story?
We got 2 hours to fill, so you might as well go crazy. Right.
Yeah, we have 2 hours to fill. That's literally shorter than our podcast most weeks. So when I was at the University of Maryland, the Caps were moving from the Cap Center to Verizon Center, and so as part of this, they put all of the tickets on sale for the last few games at the Cap Center, and included in that group was a Devils ticket. So I was in college at the time, and I went and stood in line for the Devil's Caps tickets. And of course, because I'm an asshole, I wore my Devil's jersey to a Caps ticket line.
Shocker.
And so I'm standing there, and Mark Tenorti is greeting the crowd, as I guess Mark Tenorti does.
Wait, he was just like a greeter at the front of the tickets?
Yeah. He's wearing a blue Walmart smock. And he was going up and down the crowd of people, thanking them for coming out. The Caps at this time were pretty shitty. And you know, thank you for getting tickets. So he's going up and down the line, literally walks past me in my Devil's jersey, goes to the person in front of him, in front of me, and goes, "Look at that fucking dick." And then just keeps going and greeting the Caps fans. And I felt accomplished, I guess, in some strange way.
I think you read you pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, no. So do you think it's more of a Dallas thing or a Russian thing with Zubov?
I mean, it's always a Russian thing to start.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
I mean, let's be real. Like
McGillney.
Like McGillney's kind of in that same Paul Kariya vein where he had a shorter career, burned brighter, burned out, blah, 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 and all that. Sergei Zubov should be in the Hall. I mean, next year, you look at the class, it's going to be, what's that guy from the Devils?
Terreri.
No.
Oh, Brodeur. Yeah,
Brodeur.
Yeah.
It's like Brodeur, and then there's really nobody else. I think that's a lock. But
right.
It should be Sergei Zubov. If Phil Housley's in the Hall of Fame, Sergei Zubov. If Phil Housley's name was like Felician
Housliski.
Yes.
I don't play defense, but my helmet is so big on my little pinhead.
I coached P.K. Subban this year, and he did much better. No, he didn't. And he was really awesome anyway. Why is Phil Housley getting all the credit for the Preds defense this year?
I will coach Buffalo until owner decides I do not coach Buffalo anymore.
Wait, what about that extra, the coach from the Alberta, the college? Doesn't there like a... There's always that one person that gets in we've all never heard of.
Oh, Claire like, something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a woman. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Great research here on the podcast, as per usual.
Moving on.
The last thing I want to say about the Hall of Fame is that as long as next year's selection is someone I call not Roenick, then I guess I'll be pretty happy because motherfucker is not a Hall of Famer. Very famous, but not a Hall of Famer.
Let's say Dave Andrechuk once called you out on his podcast. Would you still endorse him for the Hall of Fame?
I feel like Jeremy Roenick
was better than Dave Andrechuk.
I don't know Dave Andrechuk personally. I feel like he probably would have written a better foreword for my book as well.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
You lost
the fact
the
that you all oohed means that you literally haven't read the book. And the 15 minutes on a phone that Roenick spent writing the foreword for my book.
Which we're giving away maybe tonight.
Enjoy it. I just got back from Chicago from the draft. I want to point out the obvious that as much as – we got a show of hands here for the people listening at home. How many of you hate Gary Bettman?
That's a pretty healthy collection. Three people in the whole room.
That's more than
– They can't see it.
You can take the boy off of NHL.com, but you can't take the NHL.com out of the boy apparently.
Yeah.
Fucking government news. But anyway, so – state-run media. No, but like you have to hand it to Bettman, though. Like when he got up there at that Chicago thing and they were booing the shit out of him, and then the Chicago fans booed him so hard they got bored by it, and then they sort of like got like quiet booing, boo, and he goes, "Come on, you can do better than that." like a fucking wrestling heel. Like there's something to be said for that. Oh, yeah, I know. He's like the giant fear monster in Green Lantern, where he just feeds off the booze and gets stronger by them.
What, that was in the Green Lantern?
It certainly was. Ryan Reynolds before he made a good superhero movie.
Did I ever tell you about riding in the elevator at the NHL with Gary Bettman?
Please do.
So he would always...
Unless that's a euphemism. then definitely do.
No, I was talking about us having sex, but also...
Oh, all right.
Not like a literal elevator.
Go on.
No, but he was always like kept to himself in the elevator. In the NHL, it was 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 were the NHL offices. And you get in the elevator with him. He's already got 15 press because he's on 15 with his big office. And then I get on and he doesn't know who I am. I'm just some doofus who works at the NHL. Then I press 11 and he's like, "Oh, you're at the NHL too, huh?" And then we have to have an 11-floor conversation about my bagel. And it's like, ah. Oh. You don't have to do this, Gary. And this happened like 5 times while I was there. Every time he was like, "Hey, is that a bagel? What do you got on that? Peanut butter?"
You
worthy of my attention. I thought you were a ninth flora, but it turns out you're an 11th flora, so let's just talk.
Like the thing he does in front of people is what he would do in the elevator, where he'd just put the face on, like, hey! Fucking...
All right, so I was at the draft, and let's blow through some of these trades here. What did you think overall?
Like metaphorically, or do you mean?
No. Like what did elevator. You think overall of the Blackhawks moves, my friend?
I think they're worse than they were.
Wait, what was that, a boo for the moves or the boo for the Blackhawks?
or me.
Moves? Oh, fuck the Hawks. Well, all right.
Well, yeah, fuck the Blackhawks.
Apparently, we're doing the show in St. Louis.
Wait, hold on.
Are you from St. Louis?
Yes!
Well, there you go. Smelled that fried ravioli on.
Time to play to the crowd.
I kind of like him, to be honest with you. Like, I feel like
wrong.
No, here's
wrong.
Yarmolson, I agree, Yarmolson for Murphy is a downgrade. I think we can all agree on that. But am I crazy to think that
yes,
we have yet to see? Artemi Panarin, sans Patrick Kane on his line, plus John Tortorella, and wonder if in 2 years when he goes, I make $6 million, now I make $9 million, right? And then they're like, we don't have that money. Like, now all of a sudden, Brandon Saad signed for 4 years, and the Blackhawks have what our friend Gary Bettman calls cost certainty now with the Saad contract versus the Panarin contract. I like that. I like that move. And plus, I'm a big Jonathan Toews fan because I don't know if you know, but he wants to save the environment, and I think that's really admirable. So I want to make him happy, and Brandon Saad makes him happier than like whatever fucking rookie they had on his line last year.
So far, what time is it right now? Like 8:25? 8:19. We're 19 minutes in, and he's already slagged Sergei Zubov and Artemi Panarin. Coincidence? No. You think it's not a coincidence that Artemi Panarin shows up on Patrick Kane's line and suddenly Patrick Kane's an MVP?
No, I think there is a reason why he's an MVP, which is Artemi Panarin and Anisimov. That's fine. I agree with you. Was he really good before that? Of course he was. He just got a lot better when Panarin showed up. So now the task is
find him
another really good winger, which I thought was going to be TJ Oshie, and then the Caps went fucking crazy and gave him an 8-year contract. So
everyone's clapping for the bad contract.
Yeah. So
the Caps, fuck the Blackhawks. What else?
Stan Bowman in his office being like penciling in TJ Oshie, and then somebody's like, the Caps just gave him 8 years, and he's like, all right, we're certainly not doing that.
Okay, but
that's what got us in this pickle. These long-term contracts.
They're going to play Brandon Saad with Jonathan Toews.
Completely.
So why would you ruin your best line to make Jonathan Toews happy?
Because he's the cat.
So he goes on his happy hikes with his happy Instagram environmental photos.
Right. Exactly. he
You're almost, a real hockey guy.
He almost chopped down a tree. I saw him on Instagram. That's how upset he was. He almost ruined a tree.
What other Russians you want to get to tonight? Who else? Evgeny Malkin, overrated or not good, Greg?
Yin's knows Sid's the guy who stirs the drink on that team. Yin's know that. Gino's just a passenger. Sid's the one who stirs the drink.
Sid
is like the meat on a Permanis, and Gino's like the fries. Like, you can have it or not have it. You still have the slaw, but Sid's the meat.
Saying Yin's, Sid's the meat. You're grossing me out.
Sid's.
Who's Ryan Reeves? Is he like the security guy at the front of the Fermanis that makes sure nobody fucks with the fries?
So there's so much to unpack in that Ryan Reeves trade. Let's start with the obvious. If the Pittsburgh Penguins won 2 consecutive Stanley Cups without an enforcer, and then a weazened old man says, we need to protect our boys. We're never going to win a third one without a ruffian on the fourth line. Here's a Werther's.
Even if they paid a Werther's, that was too much for Ryan Reeves. That's the problem.
A first and a Werther's.
A first and a Werther's. I'll throw in a full bag if you give me, the rights to Yakupov.
But
Yakupov got released today. Why don't you shit on Yakupov?
Yeah, I know.
We'll do that later.
Yeah. I want to speak directly to St. Louis here for a moment. I also like the fact that when I openly said that it was foolish to protect Ryan Reeves in the expansion draft, for why would anyone select him?
Here we go.
All of the Blues fans said, you don't understand.
You don't.
He's thank you. He's extraordinarily important. He's a very important facet of this team.
if you pull him, it is as if you are pulling the thread from a sweater. The blues will unravel. And then they traded him. That is how important Eddie is. They traded him for what's essentially a high second-round pick and some guy who may not even play. That's how important he is. So I'm all confused as to why this happened. I don't like it.
It's because Matt Niskanen cross-checked Sidney Crosby in the face after the most perfectly orchestrated attack.
And right.
In the history of hockey.
Right.
That's why they did it.
Do you mean the one where Rob Rossi was in front of his keyboard and he said, Yins know they had a players-only meeting. Yins know they were plotting against said.
Flower.
Yins know if Ryan Reeves was here, none of this chicanery would have happened.
By the way, when that trade happened, the first thing I did was I went and found the box score from the David Perron, Joe Thornton hit. I so wanted Ryan Reeves on the ice, but he wasn't.
But that's just it. Like, you know, listen, I am... make no mistake, I'm a fan of more of a fan of fighting than you are. I'm like, I'm an outright fan of fighting.
Fan of fighting, not a fan of Russians. That's you.
Right. That's because when fights happen, we know where Russians are. They're in the corner. Away from the fight. But I there's nobody to fight anymore. Like, that's why would you get Ryan Reeves to go fight someone who doesn't exist? That's the thing.
It's
like,
not to prevent fights. It's to prevent carefully choreographed trip cross-check helmet checks.
Right.
And then when P.K. Subban was bouncing his head off the ice, like, Ryan Reeves would have went in there and destroyed him.
But
that's what would have happened.
No, but that's just it. Ryan Reeves wouldn't be playing in a playoff game. That's the other thing, too. Like, he would have prevented the Niskanen thing. I'm like, he would have been on the ice in a playoff game against the Washington Capitals? I mean,
you think you know better than Jim Rutherford?
Yeah, I know. That's
that's the response.
That was a great response. And then, like, they're like, do you think you know better than Jim Rutherford? I'm like, yeah, no, I don't know anything. He's a genius. That's why the Carolina Hurricanes have 17 Stanley Cup banners. Oh, wait, no, they made the playoffs fucking twice. With him as the GM. And Cam Ward got signed for 80 years.
Does this go back to Ray Shero being your GM now, and you're just pissed that you got the bad Pittsburgh GM, and Pittsburgh now has the good Pittsburgh GM?
Good Pittsburgh GM. Yeah. So what's Botterill? Is he the just right GM in your fucking Goldilocks scenario?
Not going to lie to you. I have not thought this one all the way through.
All right. What did you think of we got a bunch of Ranger fans, I'm sure, in here. What did you think of Derek Stepan trade?
It's really weird because they're so win now, right?
Yep.
And they had Derek Brassard and Derek Stepan. The Ranger fans in the room, who would you prefer, Zibanejad or Brassard? Yeah? No, they're all wrong. Because Ottawa beat the Rangers in the playoffs this year, so therefore, by rule, Derek Brassard. But like, so Derek Brassard and Derek Stepan were they're two best centers, right?
Yeah.
And now you're down to Zibanejad.
Yeah.
Zibanejad and Hayes, I guess, are going to be their 1-2. Most teams, when they're rebuilding and they want to shed money, they get rid of the really old $7.8 million winger to free up some cap space, not the good center that plays a good two-way
game. I respect a team that can realize they might have made a mistake going 6'5 with a guy who may not be worth 6'5. And maybe you can address that giant hunk of shit blue line that they have with that money instead.
Yeah, but I mean, if they get Shattenkirk and drop Girardi and they pick up somebody for Kevin Klein, it's just, I don't know. How many points did they have last year? 102? What are they going to have this year? 101? Right. I don't know. I don't know. I think they could have been better off just shedding different money. Like, they shedded Girardi's. They bought Girardi out.
They did?
Are Ranger fans sad about that, by the way? I don't know. I can't figure you guys out. Like, you... You love Zibanejad.
Oh,
you don't love Brassard.
Here, hold this for a second.
Okay.
Start beatboxing.
I guess I got to talk because it's a podcast, right? How many hands do you think I have? Yeah, put it in there. Do it. Drop it. Drop it. Oh, God. Yeah, right there.
It moved.
What were we talking about? I'm real sleepy all of a sudden.
All right.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Now's the time in the podcast where we'd usually do an ad, but we're not doing one. We might do one in post.
ZipRecruiter is one of the best places to zip for recruits. You love doing the ads. Tell them how much you love doing the ads.
I do. As you know, if you've listened to the podcast, it's become a little bit of a game where I try to knock Lozo over with my ninja-like ability to
sneak
an ad read in there.
He's getting better. Like it used to be like I would be talking, and as I got to the end of my sentence, like his eyes would light up. And I'm like, here we go.
The most amazing thing is
speaking
that,
speaking of Russians, you should be Russian to ZipRecruiter.com.
The most amazing thing is I have the ads printed out, so like I start fucking shuffling papers around as he's talking, and like
no, but you do it smooth, like
pick
like,
up on it.
You're like, let me just move this over here.
All right. No, it's time for a favorite that I said we'd do this again on this live show because you were so nice to come out and see it. We're going to do a round of Does Sidney Crosby Like?
Feels like inside the actor's studio all of a sudden. Doesn't it?
And Dave Lozo, when you die and you go to the pearly gates and St. Peter looks at you and he says, what do you have to say for yourself? What will you tell St. Peter?
It was really great having Margot Robbie on the show. And St. Peter would be like, yeah, I'm sure it was. And I'll be like, no, I don't mean it like that. I mean, she was a really good guest. And he'll be like, yeah, okay, I know what you want her on the show. I'm like, no, she plays hockey. That's the
and I will say, all right, fine. On second thought, the Nashville hot chicken at White Castle was, in fact, a mistake. Can I go back?
No.
You're dead now. Dave Lozo, does Sidney Crosby like penguins? Like real penguins? Like what you'd see at the zoo?
I think he's afraid of them.
Hence the need for Ryan Reeves.
Right.
The answer, of course, is that Sidney Crosby does not like penguins because penguins cannot fly. And he sees them as inferior to other birds that have flight.
But Jonathan Taves loves them because he loves all things in the environment. Which makes Jonathan Taves better than Sidney Crosby.
Does Sidney Crosby like Las Vegas? I don't mean the team. I mean the
city.
Yeah,
nobody likes that team. Jesus, that team is so bad. I'm going to say yes. It's hard to like not like Vegas, even if you're a guy who probably tours around with ex-ambassadors during the offseason. You probably get to have fun in Vegas if you're Sidney Crosby.
I'm going to say yes as well because I feel like Sid is the kind of guy who finds the most obscure licensed slot machine and just nurses a few nickels. Like the Sex in the City slot machine that should be gone. It should be cycled out for something like girls or something, and they still have it there, and he just sits there pumping in nickels the whole time.
Trying
to get those watered down gin and tonics.
Here's what happens. He goes there with Phil Kessel and Marian Hossa, and like he can't win shit. And then he's like, maybe get Connor Sheary and Jake Gensel on my sides. And suddenly, like, it's 21, 21, 21, 21. So in that case, he likes Vegas.
Jake, can you blow on these dice? Does Sidney Crosby like Pittsburgh?
No. You fucking kidding me? Come on.
That's correct.
That needs no explanation.
Does Sidney Crosby like margaritas?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Uh-huh.
Because like they're sugary.
They're sugar, right? They're sugary and salty. It's a bit of salty and sweet.
Yeah, like hockey players all like the vodka sodas because they want to keep they want to maintain the like we do.
Yeah. Right.
What's so funny? Why are they laughing at that reference to our great bodies? I don't get that at all. No, I'm going to say he does not like margaritas. I feel like he likes a real bland sort of a drink.
I would agree. I know for a fact that you know what his drink is?
Yingling.
No. Close, though. That's funny. Someone said Yingling.
Is it Rolling Rock?
And for real, it's IRL. His favorite drink is...
Iron City.
Huh?
Iron City?
I thought you said RC for a second. I'm like, yes. He likes generic cola you get at Mets games. No, it's Crown Royal is actually his beverage of choice. When he turned 21, they plied him with Crown Royal. That's his drink. Yeah, very good Canadian boy. Exactly.
God, Canadians
respect
weird.
The Crown. Does he like margaritas? Probably not. It seems too fun.
I don't know. If he likes Crown Royal, he probably likes margaritas.
I think when the boys go out for margaritas, it's probably leg day, so he doesn't go out. Does Sidney Crosby like the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Who doesn't like the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Sidney Crosby.
I was waiting for somebody to yell out, I do, DC rules.
No one's saying that after Suicide Squad.
I don't know. I'm going to say no, actually. I feel like there's too much going on for Sid to kind of... pay attention to all that.
Liked Iron Man, really liked Iron Man 2 because it involves beating up a Russian.
An iron Pittsburgh.
Did not like Iron Man 3, found it confusing with the Mandarin. Loved Guardians of the Galaxy 1 because he thinks he's Peter Quill. Loves Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because he thinks he's Peter Quill. Doesn't like Thor 1 or 2.
Right.
Because he doesn't like the way he wields the hammer. It feels like if he had practiced with the hammer shooting things into a washing machine when he was a child, he'd respect the hammer more. But he didn't do that. Doesn't obviously hates all the Captain Americas because he's a fucking Canadian.
Fuck Captain America, that traitorous bastard.
Yeah. Loves the Avengers, but doesn't understand how they can put a team like that together considering the salary cap. That's why he likes Civil War, because they added that young Spider-Man. He's right. Like, oh, I can relate to this. A young player that costs nothing has been added to the team.
We're doing this now. Let's do the Penguins as the Avengers.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wait for the Q&A to ask that question and get summarily dismissed.
Yeah, somebody throw that out there. I got some
Finally,
ideas.
The Sidney Crosby, like, the beards of Brent Burns and Joe Thornton. And by the way, how would everybody think about that photo that came out today of Joe Thornton and Brent Burns all facing off, nude.
Not a lot of positive feedback from the crowd on that one. Come on.
Because you're looking at porn? I saw a lot of people not really realizing how live Joe Thornton was. Like, I figured everybody knew that he's sort of like under that equipment. He's it's like a fucking, you know, mm-hmm. one of those nesting dolls. He's very small compared to what he wears on the ice.
So you like Joe's body better than Brent's, is what you're saying?
Well, no, Brent's body is more like a suicide girl with all those tattoos. So, you know.
I really got to check your browser history at some point. No, I'm just kidding. No, they have awesome beards. Of course he hates them. There's no way he doesn't hate them.
I think he likes them because I don't know if you've noticed, but his playoff beard has gotten better over time. It used to look like, come on, man. It used to look...
I mean, if you set the bar low enough on anything, it's
Yeah, well,
better
you know, as a rookie, the bar was pubic hair, and then the bar got raised slightly higher, and he has some coverage now. It may be spray on. I don't know, but like it's... He's gotten better, so I think it's something to aspire to. And we all know about Sid; he likes to set goals for himself. So there's the goal.
All right. Anybody want to yell out a couple? Because these were all planned. We could probably do better off the fly.
Do you have anybody? Because we're experts on Sidney Crosby and what he likes and dislikes.
Does Sidney Crosby like? No, he's a fucking asshole.
That was the environment. Was the the query?
Oh yeah,
Sidney
right.
Crosby like children. Oh my God. Yes. Yes, I think he. Yes. In the same way that Gru from Despicable Me liked having orphans that he could then try to mold and shape into supervillains, like I could see Sid adopting a child after a very thorough genetic test and try to make that child into another Sidney Crosby.
So he's Batman?
Yes. He is Batman.
So Connor Sheary's Robin? Or is Jake Gensel Robin?
Connor Sheary is Nightwing. And Jake Gensel.
And Ron Hainsey's Alfred because he's old. No, and Jim Rutherford's Alfred.
And, Evgeny Malkin is? Clayface. No. All the Batman fans like that one.
Is that a bad guy?
Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
Every day I came home from school to watch Batman the Animated Series and some people were playing sports.
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant that you were associating Evgeny Malkin with a bad guy again.
Why don't you bring out our guest? It's time.
Barry, come on out.
This is Harry. Round of applause for Barry Pachesky from Deadspin.
There he is. Barry,
you can use the mic
drinking.
Thing or not use the mic thing.
Do not use the mic thing.
You can do whatever you want.
I'm using the mic thing.
We wanted to have Barry on, as you all know from Deadspin.
Wait, do you all know? All right.
Whenever you go to Deadspin and read a hockey thing, it's that guy. Yeah. Every time. Pretty much.
You do a lot of coverage of hockey in sort of a general sense, and I like that. I wanted to ask you specifically about some things, and I want you to comment on them.
I mean, kind of started as a default thing, I'd say.
Right.
Because
if I
weren't writing, right. No one would be writing about right. it on Deadspin.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Do you like Pierre Maguire?
I appreciate Pierre for what Pierre
stage.
Is. You know what? Like, Drew McGarry, one of the Deadspin writers, started watching hockey this year because the Cats
novelist,
are good.
Chopped contestant.
He is the biggest bandwagoner around. And, you know, after reading some stuff, he was kind of shocked to hear that hockey people don't like Pierre. He assumed that Pierre was universally beloved among all. And he asked me, like, why don't people like Pierre? And I was kind of at a loss. I'm like, he knows a lot about where they grew up. Is that a bad thing?
No, knowing about it's not bad. Talking about it every single time your mic is on is
we're
bad.
Not trying to, like, intelligence shame when we criticize
Mary It's great
McGuire.
That he knows where Sidney Crosby took a dump in eighth grade. That's fine. Keep that to yourself.
He has access to a thesaurus. Is this a bad thing? Are we intelligence shaming our announcers at this point?
Well, the thesaurus part's fine. I didn't realize he used big words.
Not big words, but he just can't say past.
He
saucer.
Oh, he's Doc. You're talking about Doc.
No, you're on Emmerich.
Sorry,
yeah.
talking about
no,
Doc.
So
Doc.
Pierre. Yeah, Pierre, too. To put a bow on it. I think I've said this before on the podcast. Like, I don't dislike Pierre per se, because I like turtles. But I think he'd be so exponentially better inside the studio than he would be between the glass. Like, I feel like. Because I feel like in the studio, he has a time limit on what he has to say. It's about specific things. It's not about just, like, whatever comes to fucking mind during the play. Like, I feel like in the studio as an analyst, he'd be actually palatable.
But then you wouldn't have those photos of him kind of humping himself over the board.
This is true.
A whale trying to roll back into the ocean.
Or awkward conversations with players in which he talks about their breath or says, go have fun out there or all those things.
Yeah, like he doesn't have the requisite social skills to be on TV, I don't think. It's just that. Like, he doesn't know how to talk to people. I think he just talks to, like, junior hockey people all the time and doesn't know how to, like, talk to, like, Phil Kessel.
I mean, if he, like, wears on you, the obvious answer is to, like, watch a little less hockey. So
you're not helping.
Wait, Barry, all right, you're Deadspin, you guys do a lot of media stuff. How would you fix hockey media if you could just wave a wand? What would you change? What would you improve? What would you get rid of?
The Canadians.
I think there's this really pernicious thing where people who are super into hockey want to keep that exclusivity, and they're kind of wary about inviting, like, casual fans or new fans in. It's this the whole, like, please like my sport thing, but then when something happens where people might, you know, start to like their sport, they say, oh, you haven't been watching since 1992. You don't get this. You don't get the nuances. Fighting has a role in the game.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's not as if half the hockey world was like, fuck you, Nashville, for liking your team and visiting. Where were you 3 years ago? You know,
no, I mean...
you're right. It's the worst.
I wrote about, like, the one thing that got the most angry emails this year was writing about Nashville, good hockey town. And 99% of the letters that came in were Canadians saying, like, you know, you don't know anything. You haven't suffered. Go watch college football.
You haven't suffered.
Like, you want your sport to be bigger, but you don't want other people to join it. Like, how do you think this is going to happen? You think people are going to be born fully formed rooting for hockey in the right way and not wearing pink hats and putting their own names on the back of jerseys? Like, it's not going to happen.
Let's not go crazy here, Barry. Putting your own name on the back of a jersey is fucking...
But, like, is that a media
show? Show of hands, does anybody have a jersey foul? Like, do you own one? What do you have, sir? That's not a jersey foul because the team gave you... He says the Devils gave him a jersey. That's not a foul. The Devils gave you that. You have one, though. What is it? Did someone else raise their hand? Yeah, go ahead. You have your last name back. Why did you decide to get it, sir?
What's wrong with that?
It was actually a present.
It was a present?
Yeah.
From really?
Oh.
So why was it? Why do that?
It was free.
All right, it's free. That makes sense.
I want some.
You have one as well? What's your?
I don't know what my dad had one growing up. He had a shitty Flyers jersey with, like,
3D logo on the Flyers jersey. What did it say on the back? If it said Sugarman 69, Fan since 67.
Is your biggest fear to get, like, one of those jersey fouls and it's like, you know, 69 sugar tits on the back or whatever, and then, like, somebody emails you and is like,
that's a Latvian name.
No, but, like, no. But you get, like, an email from the guy and it's like, actually, my grandmother's name was Sugar Tits, and we And she died before she gave this to me?
She died at 69.
Or before.
Right. Yeah.
Died after.
She died before.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it has, like, a special sentiment to that person. And then they're just like, fuck you, Wish, and your Jersey Fouls.
Yeah. No, that's.
Like, this guy wants to do it right now, but he's no,
my greatest fear.
There it is.
My greatest fear is that I put one up and I found out it's my own dad. That's my fear. What did you do? What was Jersey Foul you had? See you in hell, 666 Devil's jersey.
How many people in this room have been Jersey Fouled by Wish and want to fight him tonight? There's one.
Oh, shit.
Oh, thank
How
God.
How many people follow me on Twitter?
Does this place have a bouncer? Yeah.
Does this place have a back door?
I mean, you can't buy an active player's jersey because the odds are real good that something's going to happen. They're going to get caught carrying Oxy across the border. Or...
with a high cap hit.
Yeah,
right.
Or like... They're going to turn out to be a huge Donald Trump fan and then make the Hall of Fame. Like, these are dangers. Someone has to be dead before you can get a jersey with their name on it. This seems like a good, hard and fast rule.
I had a Claude Lemieux Devils jersey. I had a Marty Brodeur Devils jersey. And I had a Scott Stevens Christmas tree Devils jersey. And I felt like those were three safe choices. But even the Claude Lemieux one got fucked up because he requested a trade the year after he won the Conn Smythe. So you're right. Two for three.
I've got a Lundqvist jersey, and I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, I don't even want to think about what he's going to get caught with.
I think Henrik Lundqvist, even if they eventually like trade him, has Jeter status in the city. Like, I feel like he's unimpeachable. I think even when he's like 45 and still playing, and he has a save percentage of like 600, they're like, this fucking blue line in front of Lundqvist really needs to get better.
I mean,
he just refuses to leave and retire, and they're just like, we need to upgrade in front of Henrik.
We're almost like negative 2 years into like Ray Bourque status, where Rangers fans are just kind of rooting for him to be
right.
free and actually win it somewhere.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I still think the window's there for the Rangers, so like they're not there quite yet, but I think they're going to be there. I'm trying to be charitable.
They've already paid to get in. You don't have to lie to them.
Also, you have to remember the context here. I'm a Devils fan, and I'm looking up. I'm like, oh, look at the fucking Rangers up there. Doing so well.
Yeah, you should get used to that, buddy.
They have, like, more than a line. No, I think we're getting there, though, with Henrik. Like, the idea of... Because I think... Listen, I don't think that a Stanley Cup should be the thing that validates one's career. But at the same time, it kind of validates one's career
I mean,
to win one.
We're all like enlightened hockey writers who are like, oh, this doesn't actually mean anything for a career. And then the first time they get that ring, they're like, oh, his legacy is secured.
Right.
Or we completely go.
It's not that the legacy is secure. It's that you can just shut people up. I don't want to hear about fucking Joe Thornton not having a – I just want him to win a cup. So I don't have to hear about it anymore.
Like Ovechkin is the greatest example. Like Ovechkin – I was thinking about him today with this Hall of Fame stuff. Like Ovechkin's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And it's just going to be a matter of whether or not he goes into the Hall of Fame with a cup ring or not. And then if it's not, then every question on the conference call is going to be from, here's Lance Hornby from the Toronto Sun.
Remember that time you lost in the second round? No, the other time.
Oh, there's a lot of guys in this here hall that have a lot of rings. You don't have one. Are you feeling bad? Are you feeling incomplete?
You know, Chris Kunitz retired with 9 rings. Do you feel like he's 9 times better than you?
Alex, people are calling you a poor man's Glenn Anderson. How does that feel?
You guys were talking Hall of Fame before. You missed out one name, Jeremy Jacobs.
Oh,
The worst man in hockey. The reason for 3 lockouts at this point.
Yeah.
Because
Bettman's hatchet man.
Bettman gets booed wherever he goes. The reason there was no season, the reason we've had lockouts, is Jeremy Jacobs, who had more money than God,
mm-hmm.
but decided he wanted more money than Super God.
Neil Gaiman, Super God.
For those who don't know, he's the owner of the Boston Bruins. He is a Bettman's right-hand man in the labor negotiations. He's also the reason why your popcorn costs $12 at games as the head of some concessionary company. But he... Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer now, and you're right.
He belongs to the ages now.
Right, exactly. And he said on the conference call today, it's like, this was such a surprise. I'm like, come the fuck on. Like, you've made everybody on that selection committee so much money by virtue of your hatchet jobs in these labor negotiations that it was only a matter of time.
I'm glad the game can celebrate the true pioneers of $16 beers.
But you bring up an interesting point, which is that the inevitable thing that we've come to discover this year, I think, is that we're going to have another lockout. it's going to involve the Olympics, and that's going to be an issue. It's going
well, who's fighting for the Olympics?
The players.
Me.
I don't think they care nearly as much as another percentage.
No, they care big time. They care big time. And the issue, the issue that you're going to have is that they also care about the escrow thing, which, I mean, I don't want to lose the room, so we're not going to talk about escrow. But it's like a big issue. And like that Olympics thing is now on the table. It's one of the reasons why they're not going is because now it's a negotiating ploy. And on top of that, like you're starting to see these contracts that are clearly designed to either pay these guys some lockout protected money, or in the case of the aforementioned TJ Oshie contract, they signed him for 8 years. That crosses the threshold in the next labor negotiation. Are you telling me that Ted Leonsis, who is like one of Bettman's chosen few, doesn't fucking know there's going to be compliance buyouts so he can make that problem disappear? Like, that's clearly what's going to be the case now when you see these long-term contracts. It's like there's going to be a way to make them disappear after 3 or 4 years, which is, I think, exactly why the Oshie contract happened.
This is why I'll be okay with the Rangers Shattenkirk contract.
That's a very good point. Right. They're going to be able to make
this shit go away.
This
is fake money. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But make it go away NHL approved versus make it go away where the Blackhawks are getting a fucking paddle right now for having the Hossa contract.
Marin Hossa, actually sick or not?
He's sick, but it's just...
It can be both.
Yeah.
No, that I'll split the difference being that I'm sitting in the middle right now. He's totally sick, but he totally chose to retire this year because... his money dropped from $4 million based on...
Like, he would have retired last year if he was making $1 million last year.
Which is kind of weird how he, like, suffered through it for $4 million, but...
And you know, people were like, oh, my God, he's been through so much. You know, he can't wear his equipment. It's like an allergy. He's got gunk all over him. He's got gunk everywhere.
I've got gunk all over me. I make no money. Christ, I'll do it for $1 million.
And I'm just like, yeah, it's really tough. You know, he played extra games in an exhibition tournament last September with equipment on. Like, that's how much it was hurting. Not even for his country.
Oh, right.
For some bullshit made-up country. That looked like a Russian natural oil company logo.
Forgot about that. That team that I predicted would beat the U.S.
I'm trying to.
You don't want to go back to
We talked about this in the last podcast. I'm not trying to bemoan the thing. The thing is real, but, like, it's clear. Like, the fucking contract was structured so he retired this year, and lo and behold, he retired this year, and there's a bunch of Blackhawks fans are like, fuck you for thinking. Like, it's preordained he's going to leave this year.
Like, I don't know why Blackhawks fans are getting angry, because we're on their side. Like, Hossa got his money. Like, the Blackhawks got what they wanted. The NHL got fucked over.
And it's not even a deal until the season starts. It's not like they can just fill in the blanks now with that money. So,
unless they trade it somewhere. But now the Coyotes all of a sudden think they're cute and have a team and shit. And they're like, not going to be, you know, the NHL's cum dumpster anymore. And we're not going to do that anymore. And so I don't know where they're going to trade them.
You are a wordsmith like I've never encountered. Now, cum dumpster, is that a fancy stats term? Like cum dumpster 60? Like what's their cum dumpster 60 last season?
Well, as you know, Dave, I'm surprised you don't know this as a native of New Jersey. That's actually a diner in Kearney.
Kearney,
come on.
Fuck off. Listen, I am from central New Jersey, which many people say doesn't exist. And yeah, exactly. Can I just tell you how depressed I was the other day when I was at a rest stop in South Jersey on the way? I was driving up the turnpike, mm-hmm. and I went to the rest stop, and I went in their little gift shop to buy, I don't know, whatever the fuck.
Porn.
Probably. Yeah. You know, gift shops at the rest stops have those. They're all in paper bags.
You know the deal.
It was probably Trail Mix. They had t-shirts that said, and I think I tweeted this out, maybe I didn't. They had t-shirts that said New Jersey, and they had a big picture of meat, and then it said home to pork roll. And I'm like, oh no. I'm like, this is such a major setback in the battle for Team Taylor Ham to have officially licensed merchandise in the Jersey rest stops that say pork roll. I feel like we've taken a major loss.
How many did you buy?
I bought them all. It's like when there's a bad newspaper story about somebody and you buy all the copies so no one can see them. I bought all the pork roll ones. No, it made me very sad. Where the fuck are we talking about? All right, cum dumpsters.
Cum dumpsters.
So you brought up
cum dumpsters and your mind went to pork roll?
It went to New Jersey. Yeah.
Cum dumpsters, rest stop, pork roll. What do you do in your free time?
Wait, are we playing $25,000 pyramid? Cum dumpsters.
Things we enjoy. Things,
pork rolls.
Things that are too expensive. Things
New
I can't
Jersey
get enough of.
Rest stops.
when
this
I
is where you can find my father. Oh.
When I rolled up in here, like sweat pouring off me, I'm, you know, this is lovely. I'm sure you're all totally happy. Mm-hmm. I wondered, like, which fan base in here is probably the most humid, just giving off the most humidity, and I had to go with Devils fans.
Yeah, we're a humid, we're a humid sort.
Do you have another argument to that?
No. I think you hit the nail.
The Islanders
on the
don't have fans anymore. They might be there if they did.
No, dare, that Belmont, you, that sir. Belmont Park Arena is going to be real. Totally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's. Listen. I don't know what to make of the Islanders. To be honest, how many Islanders fans we have here tonight?
How did that happen?
I mean, they were born into it, so we can just move on. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I feel like, look, we have a lot of venues now in the New York metropolitan area. Do we need another one at Belmont?
Yeah.
We do?
No.
What, for that other night of Raw that's not at the fucking Coliseum or Newark or an MSG or Brooklyn?
Weatherproofed racing would not be the worst idea. Product's kind of old.
No, that's true.
Quebec.
Yeah, I know. I think they're going to be. Like, I've often said this. Like, I don't know if you know this, but like to go back to our conversation about Gary Bettman before. Gary Bettman grew up an Islanders fan, and I've always felt like they've had protected status because he's an Islanders fan. Even back in '95, he was a Devils fan, where the Devils were threatening to move to Nashville, and Bettman's reaction was bye.
Why did they let them sell it to a con artist?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. I feel like the Islanders are always going to be safe because of that. If you're a Puck Soup listener, you know that Dave Lozo is one of the only people to have reported that Garth Snow has a 10-year contract?
Arthur Staple actually did real reporting, and I think he confirmed that he didn't confirm it was 10, but it was lengthy, and the actual number isn't known. But
right,
yeah,
so that's why
he can't
get fired, because he has this, like Charles Wong gave him a lifetime contract, and that's just baller. I'm sorry, that's baller to do that.
I would take that right now. Yeah, like, that's somebody was about to fire me, and they were like, or like change ownership, and they said, "You want 10 years of yes, whatever it is." Absolutely.
Doesn't every coach get fired with years still left on their deals? Yep. Why is he safe?
I would just put a hot tub in my office and just not care.
You have like the apartment in Coming to America, just the hot tub in there, the big screen TV.
In Queens.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Do you not I know, right?
Together, yeah.
It all makes sense.
Do you not have 10 years at Yahoo?
Oh, Barry.
Oh, wow. That's why we brought Barry tonight.
Too soon?
That was a bit of a Woj bomb, Barry. We don't have 10 years.
We're not recording Greg Deadspin.
I did write for Deadspin. I wrote under Will Leach. I wrote something called the NHL Closer. J.E. Skeets from the Starters show on NBA TV wrote there too. It's kind of
it was a really all-star team.
It was a really fun time. I mean, like I often tell people that, much like now this podcast. Writing for people that were infinitely funnier than you were really made you a better writer. And like, I would write shit, write shitty articles every day, and like the Deadspin commenters would be like exponentially funnier than I was. So made me better. It was a pre Puck Daddy gig, and I really enjoyed it. So can't complain. I know. Yeah, it was Deadspin, very sweet.
Yeah.
You know, before the whole cold.
Don't you hug it out?
Just fucking
also,
are you gonna watch that? Soon. Are you gonna watch that Netflix? There's a Netflix documentary now about Hulk Hogan bankrupting Gawker. Are you going to watch that or no?
Part of me wants to watch it.
These two going back and forth at each other about their current workplaces. How's Yahoo?
Barry, say something about Vice.
$5.7 billion, what's up?
That's not real.
It's so fake.
part of me wants to see it. Part of me lived it and has no urge to see fucking Hulk Hogan's face. Peter Thiel's...
Or Hulk Hogan's face fucking.
Yeah.
Do you think like when Hulk Hogan's having sex and he's getting ready to come, he's like
right, and then he drops the load.
Yeah,
right,
he goes off the top rope, he drops the
leg. Load. Yeah.
Sorry for that.
Fantastic.
Terrible.
I just say what comes into the mind. That's a problem.
Just, I mean, you know.
No, we got sued on Friday again by Peter Thiel's lawyer.
Why?
You should look this up. I should have probably not say anything about this before.
Well, hold on. Now, let's just pause on this for a second. What do you feel about the state of digital sports media here in 2017. And we were talking backstage, side stage.
Backstage.
Here.
Right there, slightly less hot.
Behind a curtain. You may have seen us.
That's the champagne.
We were talking about how everything, like Fox Sports made news today about firing their like editorial staff. And
laid off every writer.
They're just going to do video now.
Told them all the writers can apply for their to get jobs in video because video is the future. Video is the biggest scam in online media. Think about when you go online, what video do you see? It's autoplay video. You immediately close out your window, and then you scroll down. If it's CBS, another autoplay video pops up again.
Wait, so you're saying when you go to YouTube and there's like a 30-second ad and it says in 5 seconds you can click away? You don't watch the full 30?
They click away. They're not always hung up on.
I didn't realize you could do that.
Reads as this. No, people want to fucking read, but you can't get as much money on ads for text as you can for video.
The way it's gone now is now, as you all have probably noticed, that now it's videos with words on the videos. So now you can watch the video and get the words too. And that's great, except for like what's happened to me a few times at Yahoo, not to piss on my own cereal here, but like I'll write a story and then they'll make a video of my story. And then, like, they won't actually mention me in the video. And I'm like, but I did all the work. Like, those dudes in Nashville that ran up that huge bar tab at the Predators game. Like, I wrote a story about that and talked to the dudes and everything. Made a video about it. And then they actually, like, mentioned where the information came from. So,
Greg, you're not shareable.
I'm not shareable, apparently.
Sorry.
I just want to say that I love what goes on at Vice, and I'm happy with everything that I do. Did we get that in the booth? Did we get that? Okay, we can continue. Go ahead.
When you first told me that you were writing for Vice, I know Vice from the HBO show. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. He's going to be sent to Afghanistan. I'll never fucking have to see him again. But you've never gone. You keep coming back and doing this shitty podcast.
Yeah. Whenever I go over to the office in Brooklyn, I wear like the bulletproof vest, and you're like, you don't have to do that. That's not required here. It's just all coffee shops and delis.
What is it like to write hockey on ayahuasca? That's the Vice way. Like,
I don't get that reference at all. What is that?
Because that's what Vice
does. Vice likes
drugs.
They're
very extreme.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah, very extreme.
It's what the teens like.
Yeah, exactly. And the millennials. Do you have any millennials in here?
Woo. It's like,
have you ever been in a group chat with Dave Lozo?
My DMs are still closed because of that. Because the second I open them up, it's like 40.
It's insane.
It's like, I don't know how they
Who
do it.
Who are these people?
Like, it doesn't make any sense because it's like they'll have like Ryan Reynolds, Robert Downey Jr., me. Why am I in there? So seriously, because when that teen thing first happened, the next 4 or 5 days, because Edward Snowden was the thing that made that a big deal.
What?
Like teens.
Can you tell it back for a second? What was that?
Wait, you bust my chops about this?
Oh, that's right. Because the Edward Snowden was part of that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Edward Snowden came into the chats. So that made it a big deal. So like once that story went viral, like teens in France started screaming at me in French in my DMs. Then like Ireland, like went all through Europe, and I was like, I gotta close this up. It's just, yeah. It's like all these French words, and it's like Dave Lozo. Like no, delete.
You're lit AF. Mon ami. Do you feel sometimes that you're a man writing? I feel like we've talked about it on this show.
I do
before.
Feel I'm a man writing.
I was gonna say a man writing out of time. We've talked about it on this podcast before that the march of technology sometimes intimidates Dave and I, where you know all of a sudden people are losing glog and like they're using that to fucking.
Once things arrive to Snapchat, I checked out. Like I don't need to learn this. This is not me. Like.
How many people
Ruby
room
knows
around
what
Snapchat?
She's doing, but
you like, may not need to learn it based on like the financials of Snapchat. You know, you may not need to learn that at all.
Twitter was the last thing I was willing to learn. I'm old. I accept this.
And don't you regret every day that you learned it?
I mean, don't you love that pit of despair in your stomach every morning when you log on?
Yeah, I love waking up and then seeing all the Trump tweets and then seeing the same 6 jokes about the Trump tweets all day. And then seeing all the idiots.
Although,
people.
not we're not going political here, but I have to admit, I was telling Ruby before that my favorite thing on the web today was, have you seen the photos of Trump's wristwatch?
No.
Find this. It is clearly a man who fell in love with a watch many years ago and then ate a lot
many
of KFC.
Pounds ago.
And that watch is struggling. That watch wants to leave, but he's not. It's being held against its will right now. I believe it's pretty great. I mean it's disgusting.
Have you ever seen a tree sort of like grow around a fence? Like I don't think he can take that watch off at this point.
Yeah. It's basically a corset at this point, I believe, around his wrist. It's really disgusting.
I'm glad we got Barry up here to talk wrists and cum dumpsters and. This has been a really good interview.
That's the name of his Deadspin memoir. Wrists
and cum dumpsters.
What's your favorite? Where do you think Deadspin is these days in the pantheon of stuff? You think you're still kicking ass and taking names, or?
Yeah, I think our staff is bigger than it's ever been, which means we have the actual bandwidth to send people out on important stories
and write long form stuff.
Yes, yeah. This is incredible. Like, this is not something that could have been done when I joined, and there were four people on staff, and I was pumping out 10 blogs a day, and now I can sit back and work and edit on 10,000 words, and then get sued by Hulk Hogan's lawyer about him. It's it's a new day.
Yeah, certainly is, brother.
And a year from now, I will be sitting in a basement making videos for the web looking like a hostage video. And all I ask is that I actually get my name mentioned in there.
That's all I care about, too. Well, Barry, thank you for coming out tonight.
Thank you, Barry, for having me.
Doing this nonsense. Read Barry. Hey, what's your Twitter handle, bud?
My Twitter handle is Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Just like some tech asshole who joined 10 years ago.
How did you swing that? Did you buy it from
Our
Obama?
Our social media person swung something, and I don't know.
Did you pay for it?
No, fuck no. You have to give it back. If I leave Twitter?
If you leave Deadspin, do you have to get Barry back?
No, it's mine. It's my name.
Yeah.
Thanks, all.
See you, Barry.
That's one of my favorite things is I have my own name on Twitter. So if things ever went sideways with Yahoo, it has for all my staff. Nothing. I'll keep it. And I'll also always keep my avatar as Joel Hodgson from Mystery Science Theater 3000. Because it's my favorite show. And also there's nothing greater in an argument about Ryan Reeves than having somebody you're fucking bald and playing with your puppets or whatever. No, it's my favorite show.
That's only half true, right? When you're home, you got the luscious
hair.
Yeah,
I'm not bald yet.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the game show. All right, so wow, that's a pretty stout response for the game show. I do another podcast where the game show is not well received occasionally.
To be fair, we've been sitting here talking for an hour.
Yeah,
I think it's time we brought some people up and had some more fun.
All right, so I want to do the Islanders first. Brett Nicholas, are you here? Come on up, bud.
Come on up, Brett.
Pete, are you here? Get your ass over here, bud. All right, so the game show we're going to do today is a little piece of heaven called... What was it? What happened? What was funny?
Pete the Retailer, folks.
Pete the Retailer. An actual... quasi-celebrity. Whoa, Pete the Retailer from the Star Wars Minute.
You turn the audience against you immediately.
Yeah, I know. Fucking Garth Snow jersey. Jesus Christ.
Wait till you see how hot you're going to be up here in about 5 minutes.
That's incredible.
All right.
What other backup goalie jerseys were you thinking about before you went to your jersey? All right. So tonight we're going to play a game. Oh, here. Actually.
Yeah, let's
give we're going to give you each a mic. Tonight we're going to play a game that you may know from other live podcasts that I've done in the past. It's called the Roster Game. But we're going to play Street Fighter : Roster Game : Tournament Edition. So we're going to actually have two Islanders.
Wait, what are they going to do?
Hold on. Shut up.
One
of them is going to be Blanca.
Like a colon and a magic.
The deal is that they're gonna the roster game, in case you don't know, is a game in which I'm going to provide them a team from their team's history, and they literally just have to name players from that team until one of them can't name another player from that roster. We're going to begin with the Islanders, and then we're going to have a Rangers round.
One guy's smiling and one guy is not.
And then we're going to have a Super Wombo Championship Smackdown to determine who runs hockey in New York.
And the winner gets something, right?
The winner gets a hat in my book. And by the way, the hat's an Oilers hat. Reebok sent it to me because they don't make shit anymore. And they're like, here, I have this hat now.
I can trade that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's an Oiler Islander thing. Get it? He's doing it.
All right.
There you go. I thought it was a good joke.
So I was telling it to you.
It's not
Pete,
for them.
Pete, take this mic and you just grab that mic.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna
start talking to you.
All right, so here's the way it's gonna work. The Dave's gonna fall down on a stool.
As usual.
So we're gonna here, hold this for me. Can you hold it for me? Why don't we just we have a fucking stand. I have writing to do. All right. Oh, that's a good noise. All right, here we go. So the deal is that we're going to pick a team, mm-hmm. and the team we've selected is the 2015-16 New York Islanders. The last the last Islanders team to win a playoff round. And so what we're looking for from you two cats is you're just going to name players until one of you can't. And we'll begin... I flipped a coin backstage. I didn't. And Brett goes first.
That's fair.
Any player you want.
If you haven't heard of him, John Tavares.
There you go. According to my sheet, that's correct.
It is?
Yeah.
Can you double check that?
I did.
Okay.
Pete the Retailer.
It's 15-16. It's not next year. He's still on the roster.
That's fair.
Yeah. The next round is the 18-19 Leafs.
Right.
So save that answer for that round too. Pete the Retailer, any Islander.
Say Jean-François Berube.
This motherfucker. He's like what name is Star Wars character? That's
your hubris is gonna lose you this game. I know
totally
it
is.
The Rancor handler. Go ahead, Brett.
I'll take the easy ones. Franz Nielsen.
I think that's a pretty good choice against Pete the Retailer, my friend. Go ahead, Pete.
Oh, wait. 15-16. Wait.
Yeah, so bank that 16, Mike Bossy 15. One.
We got to be off the stage by 10. So
right.
Just don't
I'm,
milk
I'm backing up 11 because I thought it was last year. It's all right. So 15-16, Kyle Poso was still there. I'll go with him.
Right. That is correct. Brett?
Hamnick?
That is correct. Oh, now we're getting into it.
Matt Martin?
That's correct. Spouse of Sidney Esiason or boyfriend?
Boyfriend.
Boyfriend. Once in future guest Sidney Esiason. Go ahead, Brett.
Cizikas?
Cizikas is correct.
There you go.
Cal Clutterbuck.
That's also correct and also alphabetical, which really makes me worried about Brett.
Kuhlman?
Nikolai Kuhlman is correct, yes.
Then I'll go Grabowski.
Grabowski, his life partner, correct.
DeHaan?
Calvin DeHaan is also correct, and unprotected in the expansion draft, but number one in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
No, Nick Leddy.
Three, two, one. we do need a clock at some point.
Nick Leddy is correct.
Yes. Nick Leddy is correct.
Boychuk?
Boychuk is correct.
That is correct.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Getting into it now. Now we're talking.
Brock Nelson.
Brock Nelson is correct as well. As soon as I find him on the sheet. There he is. Go ahead, Brett.
Ryan Strome.
Ryan Strome, former Islander. We didn't talk about that. Everly, I don't give a shit. Go ahead.
I care.
Was it me?
Yeah.
All right. Anders Lee. Anders Lee.
Yeah, sure.
Ooh, we said Anders, though.
But can you use it in a sentence? All right, Brett, go ahead.
Josh Bailey.
Josh Bailey is correct. This is going to... I like it. All right.
I think you underestimated.
Mm-hmm.
Or over.
And clearly, you all know some of the chances. That was for you, Pete. Grand Moff Tarkin for you.
Halak.
Halak is correct. And Alan Walsh smiles somewhere that you remember his client.
Grice.
Thomas Grice is correct. That Hillary Clinton is Hitler. You can see it all on my Instagram.
Go ahead, Pete.
I think we had Shane Prince still that year. Was that his first?
That is correct. Shane Prince. That's right. The Prince of Shanes.
Josh Bailey.
Alan Quine? Josh Bailey was already said. Now, you were talking up lifelines and shit. Do you want to give him a...
It's already too late. He fucked up.
All right.
I have a backup. I didn't realize.
All right, Brett. Well, thank you for coming up here. Pete the Retailer is a formidable foe. Pete.
Who did we miss?
Pete, go to the green room for a second because we need to get the Ranger fans up here. Now, I'm looking for Chris Periglia. And then who was our other Ranger fan? Come on up, bud.
Jason,
right.
Fucking shit. Yeah.
All right. Jason, thank you for coming out, bud. Come on up here. Chris, was Chris, right?
Yes. Jason,
thank you, Chris, for coming out. Chris came up earlier with beer. He's already my prohibitive favorite.
All right. I want to bet on Jason. Anybody got $5? Anybody got $5? $5.
Oh, $5.
I only have $5.
All right. So for this one... we obviously are not going to trifle with any current Ranger teams. We're going to go all the way back to 1994. The team that broke the jinx and ruined the fucking chant that we all love so much.
What about players that, you know, like left the team mid-year when they changed half the team?
Anybody on the roster that year? Yeah, I know what you're saying. Is it names in the cup? No, because my therapist has told me that never happened. And so we're just going to go with any player that played for the Rangers in 1994. All right, here we go. We will start as we did last time on the right. Go ahead, Chris.
Mike Richter.
Mike Richter is correct. Congressman Mike Richter.
Mark Messier.
Jesus Christ, let me find fucking Richter first. All right, Richter, Messier, go ahead, bud.
Adam Graves.
Adam Graves is correct.
Brian Leetch.
Brian Leetch, also correct. You're a Conn Smythe winner that year, if memory serves, right? All right. Now call him the best color man in the business.
Alexei Kovalev.
Alexei Kovalev, an enigma, because he's Russian. There's another one for you.
Mato.
Fuck off. also correct, yeah.
Soon to be Hall of Famer, Sergei Zubov.
Oh, all right, yeah, okay. Playing the crowd.
Glenn Anderson.
Also correct, yeah, Hall of Famer. What kind of peripheral vision do you think he has?
He's not. He's tilting his head all the way around. I just want to make sure this game is. And
I
got money on him.
Is he fucking Linda Blair? Go ahead. All right, I've moved the mic back. Go ahead.
Tony Amonte.
Tony Amonte is correct.
I'll get my wallet. Give me a second.
Hang on. You're fine. Deep breath. Think of that year of the
Doug Waite?
Oh, no.
Didn't he get traded mid-year?
Doug Waite was traded earlier for...
that year.
Nah. Look on the roster, my friend.
Whoa,
don't look at the roster. Holy shit.
Okay, wait, I'm working on this now.
Nah, he's not on the official roster from Hockey Reference. If anybody can get internet, you can check it out, but... but Doug Waite is not on this roster.
Sorry, Lozo.
And he would have been between Darren Turcotte and Jay Wells.
Fuck, that was you just gave away my.
No, you're but no, you I won lost. Anyway, so it doesn't matter. Congratulations, Chris.
We won, Chris.
Thank you, Jason. Which means it's time for the super mega Street Fighter : tournament edition : roster game championship between Pete the Retailer. And Chris, I'm going to say your last name wrong. Periglia?
Periglia.
Shh, fuck.
Well, could we just do a
Hadouken?
And get up here, Pete. So,
did he say Doug Waite?
Islanders versus Rangers in the World Series of Love.
Lozo, are we running it back?
Oh. Yeah, by the way, for those who are listening at home, Lozo lost $5 on that.
Nice.
Oh, right. So,
and honestly, when you hear how tough this team is going to be to name... There's no way to know.
Use your penmanship skill, because I'm gonna use. Whoa, shit! We almost had a little mic malfunction here. Apparently, he thinks I'm Bruno Mars and just like bounce this shit. All right, so the championship round is actually between the Islanders and the Rangers. Who else could it be but a round of 2016-17 New Jersey Devils roster?
Good luck.
just want to, I'll put it out there because I don't want anybody to get tripped up on something cheap. Patrick Elias, not on the roster, even though he did skate that one time. We'll begin with Chris.
Adam Henrique.
That's correct. You want to write these down so I don't fuck up? Okay, fine. Adam Henrique.
Taylor Hall?
Taylor Hall is correct. Pete Reed Taylor, obviously not a member of the Edmonton media. I forgot that Taylor Hall is on the Devils. Okay, go ahead. So we have Henrique and Hall so far.
Corey Schneider.
Corey Schneider is correct.
I think I'm done.
Just give a guess. I mean, anybody you think might have been a Devil this past year. And literally anybody that you think could have been a Devil. Maybe just an alternative name for the Devil.
Just yell out a name. You never know. Just yell out like a Canadian name.
Just a Canadian. Something
Canadian or...
Guy Blargar. Guy Blargar?
Guy Blargon, unfortunately, didn't get above AHL Utica. So that means Chris is our big winner. Inexplicably. Woo! Taking down... the clearly myopic Islander fan.
Oh, thank you so much.
By the way, listen to the Star Wars minute. They just completed Attack of the Clones. Just shake your hand. It's one of my favorite podcasts. If you don't know what it is, it's they listen to every – they do a podcast for every minute of every Star Wars movie. And I know, but it's great.
It sounds bad.
It sounds bad, but it's great. Is that actually the way you
– Can I endorse it because I've listened to it?
Oh, please do. And what else do you have to say for yourself, Chris? So this is a very big moment for you, I imagine.
Or not. Top five, for sure.
Top five?
I could have kept going on the Devils roster if you wanted to find out.
Wow. He's fucking dancing on your grave right in front of you. All right, how about this? How many more do you think he could name?
And maybe we could give us an over under.
That's a really good question. How many do you think you
can
name?
Four and a half?
Five and under.
Oh, you guys are betting with yourselves. I already lost $5. Any wagering takes place
all
out there.
It became like a cockfight. Like it's like,
come on!
The crowd has come alive with odds. And
am I little Jerry right now?
Hold on, so...
That's a Seinfeld reference, folks.
You're a few silly, Jerry. How many do you think you can name? Give us a number.
I'll say you can name four more.
I can go 10.
This is like Name That Tune meets 8 Mile.
Let's.
Like,
Someone asked if there were 10 NHL players in the Devils.
It's a trick question. There's only two more.
I mean, again, as a strict constructionist. All right, 10 more beyond the ones we've already named, because I want to put that – because I don't want to – that's bullshit if you did that.
There's no more prizes, by the way.
More.
This
that's
is only
fine.
About your pride.
We'll buy you a beer.
We'll buy you a beer.
We'll buy you a beer.
The thing, I've done way worse for free. All right, we got Schlemko, correct. Merrill.
Wait, Schlemko.
Hang on.
You lost already.
Oh, fuck.
Zero.
Yeah.
You got zero.
Dave Schlemko, not a Devil. Last season.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm looking at Steven Santini and Corey Schneider, and I'm not seeing a Schlemko sandwich. Between them.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Name nine more. Get your pride back.
Parento, Kincaid.
There you go.
Zajac.
Now
yeah. I've lost all my friends.
Schlemko.
I'll buy you a beer.
No.
Schlemko.
That was better than a beer.
Well, congratulations to Chris for winning.
Yeah, give it up for
the
Chris.
Actual game, but then losing the hubristic other game.
He said Schlemko.
Travis Zajac's been a devil for literally like 100 years.
Oh,
and he was
with
fucking Dave Schlemko. Oh, Mike Camilleri literally sounds like every guy in Jersey. And he went with Dave Schlemko.
Oh, and he was so confident. He bluffed me. I thought he was a name like 6.
Dave Schlemko.
Yeah, we got people coming in after us here. We don't own the place.
Yeah, we have to be up by 10. I think.
What's next?
Oh, yeah.
What do we got to do next?
Free agency's coming up. Where do you think Kevin Shattenkirk's going to end up? You think he's going to end up with the Rangers?
He's going to end up with the New York Islanders. No, he's going to end up with the Rangers. It's completely.
I actually think like the perfect place for him is Buffalo, to be honest with you. Like, I feel like you put that guy on that team, they'd need a player of that ilk. It puts him in the Northeast where he wants to be. I feel like that's a good spot. But the wild card right now is the fact that Tampa might be interested in him.
Let me ask you this, because everyone knows Shattenkirk's going to the Rangers, right? We're wasting your time to talk about that. Who's the second best free agent on the market?
It might be Carl Alsner.
God.
It's a very weak crop. Like, I mean, admittedly.
Yeah, it's unique. That's the word.
I don't know.
There's nothing.
Yager. Girardi.
I've said it before on this podcast, man. We'll get to Kolbachuk in a second, but like Alsner has become this guy where like I agree that he's lost a step. He's not the same guy he used to be. Like he was a really good lockdown defenseman, but like he's become now like the cause de shit on for like analytics people as far as like his
is that French?
Yeah, it is French. It's eau de toilette. Cause the shit on.
Cause the shit on.
I think he's all right still. Like he's gonna get killed because he's gonna get overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's actually all right. So in the right spot, like fuck it. If he went to the Blackhawks on like a short term deal, like he'd be fine there. Like he'd put him with Duncan Keith, he'd be fine there. Duncan Keith's better than John Carlson.
Yeah,
you know.
But, I mean, if you have to put him with Duncan Keith, is it really worth paying all the money to get him? You
well,
know what I mean? Like they have Seabrook who's in decline. They got Connor Murphy who may or may not be a real person. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I think he's real. I've seen his cap friendly page.
I saw his. Have you seen Connor Murphy? Like he's a workout guy. Have you seen these pictures of Connor Murphy, the guy the Blackhawks acquired? Like he's got like an incredible bodybuilder's physique, and it made me feel weird because the last guy I saw that stacked was Rick DiPietro.
Have you guys seen the commercial around here where Rick DiPietro and Chris Canty are doing their radio show and they're going over their injuries? And Rick DiPietro says he had 8 concussions in that commercial. That's a lot of fucking concussions.
Yeah, well...
Like, is that a real number?
Yeah, because
like,
you have to remember... Every time his groin would explode, he'd fall on the ice and hit his head.
Like, so, I feel like he should be getting help if he had 8 concussions in, like, 6 years.
If you have 8 concussions, the perfect place to end up is New York Sports Talk Radio.
There it is.
Wow. Oh, fuck you, fucking New York Sports Talk Radio protectionists. Like, we all didn't grow up listening to FAN and...
I love watching the room turn.
Bruce from Bayside and... You know.
But no, the guy who said Radulov is probably the right answer. That's probably the second best guy available.
Well, he said Kovalchuk.
Someone said Radulov.
All right, well, Radulov, I think, is still going to end up in Montreal. But Kovalchuk's an interesting one only because, like... No, he's an X factor. Like, no one really knows what you're going to end up with. And if you end up with somebody who's just really good on the power play, that could be fine for some teams. Yeah. I find him... be kind of a fascinating player, not only because I've seen the Devils can get at least a 1 out of him, hopefully.
No,
but like, but it seems like teams are like the Panarin move was made because it's like, oh, he Kovalchuk's Russian, he's Russian. Like Radulov's in Montreal, oh well, he's a Russian. Like they're baiting the hook with Russians to try to get him there.
My favorite thing is whenever a guy is about to sign and it's like Carl Alsner, it's like, oh, he might sign with, and they pick a team, whatever team. That coach coached him for one season in junior in 1990.
Yeah.
So they have a connection.
Yeah. Because
like, really?
What hockey really needs is more nepotism. So it's great when they're all like, you know.
Get all the Stroms in the same team. Let's get all the.
Duck and Eddie.
Oh, here we go.
You know, everybody knows that the coach's mother was his power skating coach back there in Kelowna. Shut the fuck.
Oh, my.
Let's talk about horses.
Eddie, give me the superfecta at the
trap.
Oh,
okay. I like...
I like blister and slap shot in the fourth.
But I
fucking
like,
hockey broadcast
Eddie,
that is. Jesus
Eddie
God.
Olczyk managed to work a contract where he can cover hockey except when there's a stakes race. And I mean, that's amazing. Like, imagine if my job was like, you have to write about hockey except when there's the premiere of a Marvel movie, and then you can go write about that instead. Like,
that's your
a sweet ass gig.
Well, are you kidding me? I would take that job in a second.
That's a sweet ass gig.
It is, but the thing is, it's weird. Is like, he doesn't leave like game 42 in the regular season. He leaves like conference final
like
games.
Like a final game
to go do horse racing. And sometimes the Triple Crown's not even on the line anymore. He's just there to be like, bet on the three. Thanks, Eddie. this sport is just
Nashville and Pittsburgh think they have the horses. And speaking of horses, Eddie Olczyk is at the Belmont Stakes, Hampstead, New York.
Crosby and Malkin are the exacta pick for the Penguins. Eddie, what's the exacta in the... The Aqueduct. On Tuesday. Pirates. That's the only word that's good to say like that.
If Getty Malkin's thighs show me he's well-bred, and speaking of bread, thoroughbreds. Eddie? Who do you like in the Preakness? Waffle
Matt Murray
barred.
Squatted down like Michael Vollier in 1992 behind the plate for the Pirates. And meanwhile, like three goals get scored while this is going on. Oh, Patrick Kane scores. Much like the score of the Pirates game tonight, which is 2-1 through 7. Happy birthday to AHLer Gord Blesinger. I don't know how anybody watches hockey on TV. Gotta do one more.
Yeah. And Yannick Weber got faked out of his jock. Speaking of jocks, jockeys.
Jock Jones was a
man riding
farm
animals.
Hand.
Eddie?
Dock it, Eddie. I once rode a horse.
Just complete the trifecta and do Chris Russo so everyone goes home happy. Dog, who's your favorite pirate?
I like Subban's Pride and the sixth.
All right. Have we gone through all the... Oh, you know who should race?
Oh, there it is.
You know who should race horses? Bears, because all of the horses would get to about the quarter mile and then they would see the bears and the bears would growl at them and they would be very mean. And then the horses will go, I'm not racing anymore. So the bears would then complete the race and go around the circle and win the Belmont.
Who wins a fight, bears or pirates? Oh my.
So, you know, this show's
at 9:30.
Hit the
bear with a shot.
All right. We're going to have a Q&A segment now in the remaining time on this podcast. But we should say that this is the end of the actual podcast.
Yes, it's 9:30.
For the people
we made it
on the iTunes.
Yeah, suck it. You don't get the whole show, iTunes.
We decided we wanted to thank you for actually like paying money for this, and so we decided we'll make the Q&A segment like exclusive to the room.
Yeah, we wanted to give you a microphone to ask your questions. I don't know if that's possible. Yeah. You don't really need a microphone.
Anyway, so
the rooms.
So iTunes listeners, thank you for listening to the live podcast. If you want a live podcast to come to your town, bang that monkey, tell them that you want the show, call your local venue.
All right, real quick, what's he doing? Oh, that was Jim Rome?
Motherfucker.
You guys know him better.
We'll close the show proper. I'm Greg Wyszynski, Value Sports Puck Day blog. Buy my book that we just gave away as a prize. Take your eye off the puck. Actually, I'll have copies here if anybody wants to buy them. I'll like $20 and I'll just sign them, whatever.
If you want to spend more money tonight.
Yeah. Full day of free agency coverage on Yahoo on Saturday because thanks to the NHL for putting shit on a Saturday in July. No one wants to go to the beach.
It's the best run league in sports.
Yeah. We all want to sit around and find out who's going to overpay Nick Bonino. That's the thing we want to do the most on a Saturday.
Joe Thornton to the Penguins, right?
I remember I was literally at the pool when Suter and Parise signed. And I had to leave the pool to go blog about that.
I was on a train. I was on an NJ Transit train. I was unemployed at the time, so it was awesome. I didn't give a shit what they were doing on July 4th.
You looked at your phone and shrugged.
I was just like, it sucks for everybody else.
all right, say goodbye to the podcast people, Dave.
Goodbye, podcast people. We're now going to talk about you behind your
round
back.
Round of applause for the podcast people.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.